Here's Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atir, and it's so great to be back on with BBSRadio.com. It's so good to be home. I've missed them, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of my adventures. I was off having a few adventures, hopefully, to share with my listening audience. So, if you have questions, if you have things you want to discuss, please email us at www.angelscribe.com, or you can also email through www.bbsradio.com for any comments or requests, because I really would love to hear from you. Who would you like me to talk to? Who would you like to hear on the airwaves? Because I would really like to interview. If you know about a good medium and you know about someone in metaphysics, a healer, any kind of thing in your local area, I think that's important to get them discovered, to have them on the air. Let me interview them. Let me share with the world their talents, because there's so many very gifted people. I just came back from doing a workshop in Orlando, Florida, and with G.W. Hardin, the co-author of The Messengers and The Days of Wonders. And also he wrote The Master's Return. And we were doing a workshop down there, and it was really exciting to do something like that, because that's not my coast. I'm known here in my own little area in Seattle, and I'm known because of the books in other areas, but it was really wonderful to go there and meet some of the people that I'd read for that were just voices over the phone. So it's fun to get to really see my clients, and thank you for coming to a workshop. It was a great, great adventure. After the workshop, I had another wonderful adventure, and I want to talk about that today, because for me, it's like, you know, I am like you. You all of the people who are listening to me today, you want to grow spiritually. You're hungry for more input, more knowledge, or you wouldn't be listening. And I'm that way. Wherever I go, I want the opportunity to experience and to meet other mediums, other psychics, other clairvoyants, healer, anybody that's in the metaphysical field. So for me, it was very exciting to get to go to Casa Dega, Florida. Now, Casa Dega is a spiritualist community. It's really an amazing opportunity. I had heard about it for probably about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, because I really wasn't into spiritualism. I didn't know anything about it, so it's at least 6 years ago. But I had heard of this spiritual community in Casa Dega. I had heard, seen a little clip on TV about it. But as I've gotten more into metaphysics and spiritualism and the studying of things that were just a little bit outside of my, you know, my box, I expanded my box and got more into spiritualism and found out about Lilydale, which is in Lilydale, New York. Then I found out about its counterpart in Casa Dega, Florida. And it's so fascinating to get the opportunity to go and explore that. So I was really blessed to have 2 days to kind of get the opportunity to go and explore that. So I want to tell you a little bit about it. So it's a spiritualist camp. It's celebrating its 112th birthday this year. It was established in 1894 as a spiritualist community. Today it consists of about 57 acres. And although they use the word camp, and that derives from in the 1800s, they had camp meetings. They had like camp revival. They had places where they would pitch tents and they would have religious meetings, just like other congregations, other religions like Baptists used to have, you know, revivals as well. So they would pitch these tents and they would have what they called camp meetings, got to be known as camp meetings. So they still kind of hang on to the camp meeting today, although there is no camping area on this camp. So it was designated a historical district in 1992, and many of the homes were built in the 1800s, and it's really interesting because it is undergoing, I thought, a renaissance. I can see that they're doing a lot of restoration on a lot of the homes, trying to keep the flavor of the 1800s, but yet certainly you know, work on aesthetics of the place. They do have, this is a very interesting place in that it's beautiful setting. It has the trees, beautiful trees with the moss hanging from them. You know, it has that sort of renaissance feeling of what might have been the old plantation areas in the south, because the trees are very magnificent. And so it is the atmosphere is very nice there. I found it interesting because, you know, I was really curious because you're there during the day and it's sort of subtle during the day. It seems like it was, there was not a lot of people stirring. It was kind of a lot more tourists than there were per se seeing mediums or other people that you would meet in the street. And they were unfortunately inventorying the bookstore when I was there, so I was crying a lot trying to get into the bookstore. I finally did make it. They finished their inventory, and they do have a lovely, lovely bookstore there, metaphysical, spiritual bookstore. But the camp itself has a really interesting flavor to it. It was really created or came about because of a person's vision. George Colby is credited with being the founder, and he was born in 1848 in New York. And he was a trance medium, very well known. He did a lot of stage work, private readings. He went all over the United States conducting seances, and he was known as the seer of spiritualism. And he had several well-known guides came through him, but one important guide was an Indian named Seneca. And when he was giving actually a seance in Iowa, his Indian guide, Seneca, came through him and told him that he should go on basically a spiritual journey, and the message was he was to be instructed and described a place, and he was going to go to the South and start a spiritual community in the South. And so he so believed in his work. I mean, it really was his life passion that he put everything on his life on hold and went off in this journey. And you got to remember now, we're talking the 1800s here, you know, somewhere around 1875, he landed in Orange County, Florida, and found this exact place that his Indian guide had described to him, and set about trying to claim this land. And this is in the time where people were staking claims and stuff. It was very, you know, this was very undeveloped and really considered part of the wilderness still. So it's interesting that by 1894, he had established a camp meeting place there, and he established it and started having basically tent meetings, and it was at that time only 35 acres, so it's grown in acreage over the years by different bequests to the community, and it's a fascinating place. It has a beautiful old hotel. Actually, I guess the original hotel burned down, but probably it looked like it might have been rebuilt in the late 1900s. It might actually be a little newer than that, but by the facade of the place, I think it was still around the 1920s, maybe late 1950s. But they rebuilt this beautiful hotel, and it's a lovely place. It's an adventure to stay there. And then they also have several outbuildings, and one of them that's the most impressive is called the Colby Memorial Temple, and it really is where they hold a lot of their services. And it's a very distinguished building and worth seeing. It's so amazing. So what I thought was interesting here is I was very lucky and persistent, I guess, and I'm probably a little bit of a pit bull. I kept saying, I want to talk to mediums. I want to, you know, really have inner reaction, and you certainly could make appointments and go meet mediums and have private readings. But I really wanted to hang out with my species, and I was hoping to meet some people and just get the opportunity to find out more about Casadega. And I was very lucky to meet Mr. Manny Billings, and he's a trustee of the Association of Casadega. And he was kind enough to really introduce me to a couple other mediums to just get a chance to talk, shop, so to speak. But he also was kind enough at that time to let me see the inside of their temple because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be back in time for an evening service at that time. So I did get to see the inside of the temple. It's very, very beautiful. It is definitely kept very much of the period. It's not very modernized. And so it's very kind of fun because it kind of takes you back in town just to experience it. So as we were talking, I wanted to know actually how many working mediums were working in Casadega. And so he said, well, there's about 48 working mediums. And I went, can we talk? You know, 48 mediums in one place is like, to me, going to the Mecca of woo-woo. And I was so excited, but I had such little time to really get to experience a lot of experiences there. But how wonderful to have that opportunity to have 48 working mediums in one place. So it was like winning the lotto of woo-woo. So they have a wonderful little booklet. I want to tell you about this. They have a wonderful little brochure booklet they put out. It's called the Casadega Spiritualist Camp Celebration 112 Years. You can actually get this by writing them. I think it's a $2, they ask for a $2 donation because it pays for the printing and also for the shipping. You can write through Southern Casadega Spiritualist Camp Association, P.O. Box 204, Casadega, Florida 32706. And I will post that information to my website, so if you missed it, you'll be able to check that out again. So I want to tell you a little bit about the things that go on there. So they have two church services on Sundays. They have a 10:30 and a 12:30. They have on a Wednesday night, they have message services from 7 to 7:30. 7 to 8, excuse me. They also have student message services on Wednesdays. They have special candlelight services for certain holidays. They have Christmas and Easter services. But the cool thing I loved is they have these great night walks. They have orb tours that they take you on at night where you can take your camera and try to catch orbs on your camera. They also have what they call the ghost or spirit walk, where they have had people actually catch spirit manifestations. And I actually met two people who had gone on the walk, and they showed me their digital camera, and they had pictures with orbs in it. So that was exciting. And if you order the little booklet, that has some really good information also in it and shows some pictures of orbs. If you haven't seen orbs or don't understand what orbs are, there's controversy over that, so I'll describe what I know of it. If you watch the Ghostbusters taps on Sci-Fi, they will talk about sometimes if you see small orbs about the size of the pencil eraser or your little fingernail up to about marble size, they consider that usually you're catching dust or something illuminated in the light of your camera. If they are golf ball size or bigger, they consider them to be collections of energy that they feel like it is part of the atoms collecting energy, how atoms collect around a nucleus. It's like they think that it is a collection of energy. But if you get basketball size and up, they are not sure what that is. They don't know if it's still just a collection of energy or if it is how energy is built for a manifestation of spirit to form an apparition. Now, I can't talk from their, meaning the authorities, what you will read in books or on websites of evidential phenomena or paranormal psychologist versions of this. But I know from when I was a kid, and I used to see what I call glowing bubbles because I'm a kid, and the only thing I could relate to these things I saw were like if you blew a bubble when you're blowing bubbles from as a kid. I would see these orbs like this of light, iridescent like that, but glowing from within, and then sometimes an angel would come out. They would get bigger and bigger and bigger until there was a manifestation of an angel. I've also seen orbs behind people who have passed over. So I think there's many forms of what these orbs are, and certainly different levels of what comes out of them. And I think if you check any paranormal psychology or parapsychology website, you will find that no one has enough answers to say exactly what they are. I do know that I think that from what I've seen, you do see a lot of this manifestation from people who are psychic. It'll be in their energy fields or show up behind pictures that they're in. So certainly, you know, get your cameras out, especially these digitals, because you're not wasting film anymore, and have an adventure. Take some pictures, you know. I know that several people have taken pictures in certainly cemeteries, things like that. If you want to go do that adventure, please. please check out. There are laws now about people being in cemeteries after dark, and it's a bad thing to do. You might get arrested, so you would have to certainly check with local authorities and do it in a scientific way and not just, you know, think you're an amateur going out there and having an adventure that you're not going to like later on. So more things that were going on in this, what I found very interesting is they have actually a very extensive activity list of things that go on in this camp, which I hope I see in other camps, because I'm going to actually go in search of some more of these camps to compare and look at the studies, because, you know, what I think is fascinating about spiritualism in particular is it is so old. I mean, it's old as time began, but the formalized one part of it came in the 1800s. And many scientists, many people, Arthur Conan Doyle, many people started trying to scientifically study it. And so there is some fabulous documentation when you start looking into this has come about because of the fascination of mediumship and spiritualism. So it's interesting. At this particular camp, they have actually a lot of special teachers they bring in from out of state as well. And so some of the classes that they offer are death and leaving the physical body. Midnight mediumship. I'd like to try that one. There's a lot of interesting things. Basic receiving, spirit communications. They have healing circles. They have discussions about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Historical tour of Casadega. They also have secret teachings of the Master of Mystery Schools. Advanced mediumship, healing angels and auras, and you know me, I love my angels. I like that class. So what I found interesting, and they also had some classes on automatic writing, advanced seance, experimental seance, transformation, transfiguration mediumship. So there's a lot going on at this camp with 48 wonderful mediums to explore. I did get the chance to go to one circle, and I want to give Mr. Reverend Johnstone, Robert Johnson, I went to his circle. I enjoyed it. It was an adventure. There was about 9, maybe 10 of us in the circle. And it was exciting to experience a different form of circle. He uses a lot of color in his mediumship work. He actually does this amazing kind of almost ink blot kind of thing using many, many different colors. You fold it together and then he reads it and almost turns out like a butterfly, so he calls it butterfly imaging. A fascinating way of mediumship. So there's so many forms of mediumship. So if you get the chance and you're interested in exploring Casadega, just check out the website and I'll have that information for you. As I was looking into this, I really got fascinated by some of the really interesting people who have been spiritualists. Because, you know, in the 1800s and even in tonight, well, even into today, you know, a lot of people are not very brave about going real public about being mediums. And there were people when I was a kid that I was very fascinated about. And one of them was Mae West. Mae West always fascinated me when I was a little kid. My mother was, like, beside herself, of course, because by my mother's Southern Baptist background, Mae West would be considered a hussy, I'm sure, because she was a woman who kind of wielded her sexuality pretty provocatively for that time period that she was in films in the 1930s and really she was like a little bit of Marilyn Monroe, pre-Marilyn Monroe. But what I found interesting is I found out she was a fabulous medium, that she was very involved in spiritualism and seances. She was actually born in New York, Brooklyn, New York, and started doing, believe it or not, vaudeville very young, when she was known as Baby May, and really kept, quit school in around the third grade and took on this stage career and started writing stage plays and wound up in trouble for writing one called Sex in New York, and wound up getting publicized, taken to court, actually was incarcerated for a short period of time, which really kind of catapulted her into fame. And after a few more controversial plays, was picked up by Paramount Pictures in 1932. So she had a very sort of risque career. But she really was interested in spiritualism, was fascinated by all of that that went with it. And when she was in England, she actually met Leslie Flint, which is a British medium, had him come to her hotel and hold a seance. She also met with many, many other mediums, but she actually became so fascinated that she started practicing, meditating. She had a room that was dark that when she was not on the road or not on out on tour, she actually sat in practice for mediumship for in the room every day for at least 45 minutes. So she really was not very public about her interest in spiritualism. In other words, she wasn't necessarily an advocate that went on the road, but she really did behind the scenes, and everybody in Hollywood was very obviously apparent and interested and knew that she was into it. She also did go to Lilydale, New York, and she had a medium there named Jack Kelly that she actually worked with and took classes with, did study with for several years until he passed away. She also worked with and met another movie star, or actually person that was very into spiritualism, and that was Amelia Earhart. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look at Amelia Earhart, it was amazing because she was a very strong woman in her own right, flying, you know, and being in a man's world, and Mae West kind of was in the movie business, which was still truly in that time. All the big studios were ran by men. It was a difficult time to be a woman in power. And yet, I find it fascinating, Amelia Earhart, who really, I think of her as a very strong, opinionated woman in a man's field, but also very scientific. She broke many, many records. And yet, here she is interested in spiritualism. So they became fast friends and did a lot of spiritual work together. So it's fascinating to me, really, how the evolution of people who became very involved in the spiritualist movement. I also think it's interesting that Sir Oliver Lodge was into the spiritualism, too, and became an advocate toward and talked. People talk about, in a way, like spiritualism is an old-fashioned religion. And I think that's said of many religions today, unfortunately. But I think it's more alive and well than people would like to think sometimes. But Sir Oliver Lodge was, you know, a very well-educated man, English man, who was he was a famous psychologist. And then he became a researcher. He had a college degree. He was, you know, very well known and thought of in the community of his profession. And yet, you know, there was something that got him interested in the physical research in 1883. And he went forward and really studied it. He helped form the Society for Physical Research. And many, many scientific men started, you know, working with him and studying. And one of the main mediums they studied was Lenora Piper. She was a mental medium. And it's fascinating because they really started out, I think, to kind of defraud. And what happened was they got converted. So it's interesting to me that the more I read about this, the more I really get that we're all seekers. We're all seeking to kind of find out for ourselves the truth about spirit, the truth about life after death, the truth about metaphysics, the truth about coincidences, synchronicities, everything that gives us our our spiritual wake-up call. And for men in particular, in any time period, I think, they are very much more prove it to me, show it to me. Women are that way too. We're just a little more subtle about it. But for men, certainly in the 18 and 1900s, they were the people that were in the public. They were the, you know, women were really behind the scenes in the parlors. In this time period, for a distinguished man with credentials, who was a psychiatrist or a lawyer, a doctor, a statesman, any of the professions, to really come out in a time period where structured religion was still strong, and to go off the beaten path, they had to have a lot of courage. So when I began to read about some of the things that I have read about Sir Oliver Lodge, you know, he was a mathematician, he was a researcher, he was a pioneer in so much, and he was articulate about documentation. One of the reasons that the Society for Psychical Physical Research is so amazing, because they did keep really great notes. They really scientifically studied, kept notes. Different people from that organization would study the medium. They would almost do like double-blinded experiments on mediums. And I was there was a special on Houdini not too long ago on the History Channel, if any of you saw it. You know, Houdini was, of course, and still is considered the consummate magician, and that he got angry about, well, he caught actually several mediums in fraud, and certainly there's fraud in every profession. I wish I could say there wasn't, but certainly I'm sure in that period of time there were people who took advantage of grieving people, just like I'm sure today there are, unfortunately, people in that do that same thing. But Harry Houdini started out because he lost his mother. He wanted a message. He wanted to believe, but he found frauds. And so he really did debunk and certainly expose a lot of the frauds of that time. But also, in the end, when he passed, he told his wife a secret message that if there really was spiritualism, someone would be able to break the code and give her the message, and Arthur Ford did that. He broke that code and did, you know, for all intents and purposes, for Houdini's wife anyway, made a believer out of her that, yes, this was a message from my husband, and this, you know, there was something to life after death, and some mediums were real. So it's been a fascinating journey, I think, for the study of mediumship, and there's so many different kinds of mediums that it's fascinating. Just, I mean, it could be a lifetime study. There's so many wonderful opportunities in institutes to start exploring. So if you have a little spiritualist church in your community, you know, it would be a great adventure to go there and see how it's run. Some of them are stuck in the 1800s of their belief systems, and it's very structured and might not be so friendly to people who are outside of the box, who have questions, but we learn by sharing. So persevere and be brave and go and ask questions until you learn more, because once they open up, they're very, very generous with their information, and you can meet some really great mediums. We're very blessed to have some mediums who are in their 70s and 80s who have been doing this for 60 or 70 years, who have a lot of knowledge to share with people. So go there, persevere, and ask if you're a budding researcher, or if you're someone who is practicing mediumship, channeling, clairvoyance, because I have started setting a circle in my local community. We do happen to have a camp here called Camp Edgewood, and I have started a development class at that camp, and we've been starting, we've been setting in a seance circle now for, I would say, probably 6 or 8 months, and we are having phenomena. It's kind of getting exciting that we are having other people bring through information, and entities are speaking. We do have a trumpet. It has moved a little bit, but it hasn't lifted or levitated. But it's exciting to set with other like-minded people and everybody brings something to this development class. So there are people who have been studying in cabinets for 2 years. People have studied under other teachers. So there's a wealth of knowledge if you have a local spiritualist church or any other organization that is doing development. Sometimes studying with other people, the energy builds and you have major breakthroughs. So it's exciting to get the opportunity to experience that. So if you have questions about spiritualism, seances, setting circles, how does spirit communication happen, any kinds of questions, please call in at 1-877-876-5227. Again, it's 1-877-876-5227. So I found it very interesting. I asked all these questions. I went on my adventure. I came home, and lo and behold, there was an email for me from another spiritualist church in Maine. It's called Temple Heights Spiritualist Church. Oops, we have a caller. I've got to get back used to my bleeping in here.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Who am I speaking with?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. You got a comment or a question?
Yes, I do. I was wondering if you saw anything around my career.
Say your name again for me.
Lisa.
Okay, Lisa, what I see is that there is some, I think, rearranging around what you're doing right now. I feel like whatever you're doing, the company or whatever you're working for, is sort of rearranging and shifting. I don't think you're jumping careers yet, okay? I would stay where you are. The opportunity or window of opportunity to shift in your career seems to come in August of this year.
Okay.
So I would stay put.
Okay.
And I also see some money coming back to you. Somebody owes you some money, and I see it coming back to you. So that's kind of good because you've kind of been, you know, stretched a little bit more than you'd like. So
yeah.
It's nice to have that abundance coming back. But 2007 is a better year for you. You've kind of done about 2 years of a little rocking and rolling.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
You are not kidding.
I know, but the ground's stable now, okay? No more emotional earthquakes, okay?
Do you see anything around a possible move for me, too?
I don't think anything happens till August, hon.
Okay.
It's like the opportunity for the job shift and a move come together. They're co-mingled in some way. And so I know you're feeling stuck, hon, and I know it just feels like, you know, you got derailed.
Right.
You know, but it's really divine timing, not yours. So don't call 1-800-WAH, okay? Say thank you, Spirit, for where you are in this moment, okay?
Okay.
Because the door is going to open in August, and when it does, I wouldn't run, honey. I'd leap gracefully and joyously into it because it's a very good move for you. It's a very stable thing, and it makes you happy, and you're ready for some joy, hon. You know, you've been doing too much bailing the boat.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you so much. Blessings, darling.
Blessings to you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I want to talk about what's going on a little bit while we're waiting for somebody else to get their nerve up to call 1-877-876-5227. I have talked to so many clairvoyants in the last 30 days. I have to tell you, as a universe, we are consciously starting to feel the shifts of emotion. There has been something going on with the universe, and if there's an astrologer out there, I'm sure they could call in and verify this, that we have been sort of in the cosmic blender with energies in that. And I have to tell you, I must have, I don't know how many clairvoyants I've talked to, tons, that have also been feeling it. So it's not just me. I was thinking it was just me because I thought I was traveling. I thought, oh, I'm having this where all of a sudden I'll be laying in bed and I just start quaking like earthquakes. And I knew it wasn't me physically. I knew it wasn't the earth having an earthquake because that's not the symbol for earthquakes for me. But I knew there was a disruption in the energy. And as I've talked to other clairvoyants, they're talking about it too, that there is definitely this shift in energy that I really think is making us become fine-tuned. And so for a lot of you out there, I have to tell you, if you're not having difficulties with your significant other, if you're not having relationship roller coastering, if you're not having job shiftings, If you're not having relationship issues in a lot of your relationships, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. It means you've done lots and lots of homework, and you're not being affected so much by the shift. But for everybody else, really, truly, we are having to look at our stuff. We're having to look at what do we really want, and are we going to stay on, you know, sidetracked? I know in my own career, I let myself get a little sidetracked, and, you know, then you get the cosmic wake-up call. For a lot of you know, for just most of December and part of January, I didn't have any voice. And I tell my clients, do as I say, not as I do necessarily. I did not duck my own cosmic 2x4 because Spirit had asked me to take some downtime. And I go, yeah, let me finish this. You know, because I thought I was running my own boat, you know, and so Spirit gave me downtime. And I really know that it was for me to go back in prayer, to go and do the cave time for part of it. And then because I couldn't speak, I wrote. So it did get me further on my book. It might happen yet. So listen to how Spirit's directing you. There is a lot going on in the universe right now. And as we look and see so much more in the media and on TV and in all the modalities that we're so blessed with now, the Internet, we are seeing more about what's going to happen in 2012 in the energy shifts that are beginning now, so that it's not one big cosmic leap. We're taking it in increments. And so listen to your body. Listen to your energy field. Listen to what's going around in your whole universe, your immediate universe. I cannot say enough about drinking lots of water right now. The more that I have gotten information from Spirit in the last 2 months, we need to really pay attention to our bodies. We need to put a lot of hydration in our bodies, because we need hydration in our energy systems to communicate with Spirit. It's one of the big things that is a conductor in our system for electromagnetic energy to make it easier to raise our vibration to communicate with the other side. The other thing I'm going to encourage, and I am not prescribing, I'm telling you what I do, what I think is important. Certainly do your own research. It's very important. Whatever I say on this show is just information. You are personally responsible for your own choices. You must do your own research. But baking soda and sea salt baths are very good for people who want to clean their energy field if you do not have a skin condition. If you have a good skin condition, it's going to sting. But read up on cleansing your energy field. There's a wonderful book called Sacred Space by Denise Lynn. It's a time for cleaning, spring cleaning, and it's not just because it's spring, but because we are going into such a different shift of consciousness. And if you don't believe me, start watching all the little kids around you. You know, out of the mouths of babes comes the answers to the world if we just listen, and we don't listen enough. So pay attention to that. It's a really great time to embrace change in your life and embrace conscious shifts and being comfortable with those shifts. So it's a good thing to do a mental cleansing, take inventory. I really think, Danny and Brinkley is a wonderful teacher. How he got taught, though, is not so wonderful. You know, he got struck by lightning and had a near-death experience, and because of that became psychic, but he's had a lot of, unfortunately, health issues because of the lightning strike, too. So he always suggests you get it the short version instead of the long version and getting electrocuted to become clairvoyant. So when he had talked a few years ago, and I think he's an amazing teacher, because he talks about the life review that you have when you pass over, that you have this life review and you feel everything you've done that's good and everything that you've done that's not so good. So if you hurt somebody's feelings, you'll feel that pain. And so, you know, if you look at it, that certainly could be considered hell. If you have done unkind things, and we all have, unfortunately, or had unkind thoughts, you experience all that. So after I heard him talk, probably over 12 years ago, maybe a little longer, I decided I wouldn't wait till I had a near-death experience to do that. So just like I believe in defragging your computer, I think it's important to defrag your energy field and do that. Do a life review at least once a year. I do it every month because I really believe in paying it forward. I don't want to get on the other side and experience all the pain I've created in my X amount of time here on Earth. So taking the time to do some forgiveness things, to really look and admit when you've wounded somebody, to go back to that person, ask for forgiveness. Alcoholics Anonymous is one of the things that they actually advocate in their program for healing from alcoholism and other things. And so if you think about it, it just makes good sense. And if we get very conscious of that, if we get more conscious, and I really believe that's why The Secret, the DVD, The Secret, so popular right now, is it makes you take personal responsibility. It makes you look at how are we acting and reacting in this world. So doing some major cleansing will make you go through this process of energy shifts in a big way. One of the things we actually wound up talking in this Master's Returns workshop with G.W. Hardin was that in the last 25 years of metaphysics, where the whole life became popular and there was much more available, the renaissance of spirituality kind of came in, and we had workshops, and you know, you went and you talked to your inner child, and you cleaned your chakras, and you learned so many things. You did dream work, and you did journeys, and you learned your totems. I mean, we've done it all. We've experienced all those when you've gone in search of. That now we're in a whole new age where all of that has caused certain shifts in our reality, shifts in our DNA. We had, you know, the harmonic convergence, where energy shifted. We had 11-11. We have had our spiritual DNA shifted. Our physical DNA is now shifted. In fact, there was a special not too long ago, about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago, I guess, on TV where they think they found another strand of DNA. And scientists are, you know, scratching their head going, what happened? You know, how come we haven't seen it before? So there's so much now scientific quantum physics and scientific information that is confirming what we as spiritual people, as metaphysical researchers, have always believed. But we are finally now, science is catching up. It's beginning to have machines and equipment to verify our auric field, chelating photography, so many things. So what's going to seem to happen or is happening now with our consciousness shift is preparing us for different dimensional shifts. And I'm hoping to have someone who can talk about the Mayan calendar and talk about some of the other things that we believe will be happening in 2012, because as I talk to different people, it's becoming very apparent to me on a mundane level that people are going in search of. It's mainstream America that's joining us, and I'm really excited about that because I hear more and more businessmen, lawyers, doctors, people who are not have not been spiritual in the general sense of the pattern. They didn't come from Christian Science, you know. They weren't, you know, didn't grow up with parents who were mediums or spiritualists or things like that. So it's getting to be a fascinating shift of consciousness and awareness. And I really want to thank BBS Radio for being part of that, because I think they're doing a tremendous service. Thank you, Don, and your staff for bringing this opportunity to have time on air to talk about these subjects. I think people are hungry for it, and I think we have to sort of know our past, our history, to facilitate our future. And so I hope by talking about these places that existed 112 years that have people who have... you know, they have wonderful libraries on these campgrounds that have books that are out of print, which to me is like, you know, it's like chocolate ice cream. To get an old book that's out of print, even though it may take me a while to delve through their terminology and their mindset of the time, there is still often wonderful things that you can learn from that and apply today and see repeated in some of the research and things that are done today. Some of the books that I believe that are written today certainly have their foundation in the sciences of the past and the information of the past. One of the things I also want to mention is to check out the ARE. If you don't know about Edgar Cayce, check out the ARE at edgarcayce.org. because it actually has just has a new trustee, or new, excuse me, president, Kevin Tatachi, who has written many, many things on dreams. And I am trying very hard to hopefully have him on a future show, too, because he's a fascinating speaker. But there's so many of now these kinds of foundations that, again, have been established. They have incredible libraries that are open to so many people. So if there is anyone else out there that wants to ask about their personal life, ask about spiritualism, ask about any kind of metaphysical things, or if you have some things you want me to talk about on the show, please, again, call 1-877-876-5227. It's great to be back on the airwaves and have the opportunity to share things, subjects, and education with you. I do hope to get the chance also to go back to Lilydale and hang out and get to interview some mediums back there. I am finding that there is so many mediums now that are starting to be scientifically tested, thanks to Gary Swartz of Arizona University. He is the person who, again, studied Alison Dubois and has studied several different mediums, Ann Gaiman, John Edwards, George Anderson, all of which who have been studied in his study, and he has a book called The Afterlife Experiment. So if you're a diehard person that wants some scientific facts, please check his information and that book, because he really did do phenomenal documentation. My understanding is he is starting another research with some more mediums, so that'll be exciting to see how that goes in the next year, so that we can have more documentation for mediumship and for clairvoyance. I really would also like to know if anybody knows anyone that has studied and documented remote viewing. I've had several emails about that subject, and I would love to interview someone who is, you know, teaching it and has a background in it, deeper background in it, so that I could help educate those people who were asking me about that particular field. I have experienced some forms of remote viewing, and I do believe Edgar Cayce certainly did that when he went in trance. For those of you who don't know, Edgar Cayce actually went into a full-blown sleeping trance. He laid down, he loosened his tie, he went into sleep. Someone asked him, or gave him the information of the person, usually their name, and I believe it's their address. And then he would say, I have the body here. He would tell people what was wrong with the body. He would talk about the surroundings of the body. If the person was not where they were supposed to be at a slot of time, he might follow them around town and tell them what they did. He would then prescribe talking about how they could remedy the physical situation. Later on, he also did come up with information about past lives, about Lemuria and Atlantis, and other subjects like that, because he later on, when he went into trance, people asked other specific questions, but most of his work really was as a sort of medical intuitive. But it would be very much documented that when he could follow someone around, he could describe the wallpaper on the room, he could describe the place, that it was a form of certainly remote viewing. So there's more documentation information about remote viewing, and I will try and bring that to the airwaves as well. For right now, I am just really kind of focusing on this adventure that Spirit seems to be bringing to me about spiritualism. I'm sort of like a seeker that likes to follow the breadcrumb and go where Spirit leads me, so the opportunity to explore more than one spiritualist camp certainly is an adventure. And I hope I will get to document and bring to you some other mediums. I also am hoping in future shows to also talk to someone about the crystal skulls, because I have had an interesting adventure with crystal skulls as well. And Joanne Parks owns Max the Crystal Skull in Texas. I'm hoping to bring her to the airwaves and let you know a little bit more about that health subject. And here we have, hopefully, someone else. Hello.
Hello, it's Julia. Welcome
Hi.
Back.
Oh, thank you so much. Hello, Julia. What's going on today? Tell me something good.
Oh, my gosh, you're good. You're the good thing today.
So,
I'm getting to hear you live on radio. Yay.
So, what could I do for you today? What can adventure question or information?
Well, actually, I mainly just wanted to say welcome back. If you want to give me a little snippet reading, that's great.
Absolutely.
But I'm just glad
to hear
you.
Where are you, Julia? Where are you?
I'm in Maryland.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to get out to Maine there, so I'm getting closer. Closer to your area. So what I feel for you, Julie, is that I actually think that you're letting go of things. You're kind of in this time where you're kind of sorting out your cosmic stuff. I'm going to say that you're kind of deleting some one-way friendships. That you had people in your life where, you know, it's like you're always there for them, but they're not there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some people are going to kind of leave your immediate circle of friends, and I think it's a very good thing because you're going to open a way for some new people to be involved, okay?
Okay.
And you're really kind of hungry for that because you've kind of been, again, everybody's going through this stuck period, so it sounds like I'm giving the same reading. It's not true, but it's just we have been stuck. We've been sidetracked with stuff. And so from June, July, August for you opens up windows of opportunity and new opportunities for stepping through with having some fun and some excitement, which is good for you. I also want to say, can I ask you actually what you do for a living?
I'm a stay-at-home mom right now, but
it's changing. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I actually feel like you're not going to be staying. You're going to have something that's a part-time thing, and I'm not going to say it's necessarily a job because it might be a volunteer thing, but I feel like you get paid, so I'm going to say it's a job, I guess, after all. Because they showed me payment, so that's kind of good. But it's like a 2-day-a-week thing.
Okay.
And you know what? You need it because you're kind of like tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, bored.
I agree.
And you don't need to be bored, but you know, you can only have so much mommy talk, and you crave adult talk. But there's a huge shift, like I said, this summer for you that gives you more freedom, and you're just going to be a lot more joyful.
Oh, good.
And you have a new angel working with you, too.
Oh.
A beautiful, beautiful angel. Let me see if I get names. Marissa. When I talk about angels, please listen to me, guys. They come in sounds and tones, and I have to make them put it in English. Angels are not attached, as Sylvia Brown and many other readers will tell you. They're not attached to a name, but it helps us to connect vibrationally. So I ask them to give me a name in English, and sometimes, honest to God, it doesn't sound so much like English when it comes through. But Marissa is what I heard, and Marissa came in January for you because you were doing a lot of prayer work then, and she's coming in to help you work with some things that are shifting in your life. Mm-hmm. And you also have about 11 other angels working with you. So call the flock in. Say, get the flock over here. You know, and put them to work. You know, they're working angels. Don't put them on a pedestal because they really want to help you. So when I see this kind of energy in around a person, to me it means they're starting something on their life path that's really joyous and it's going to help you feel more validated. Because I think some days you don't think you're very worthy, honey.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Stop that. Bad girl. You know, we are all a divine spark, and so we have to accept, you know, when spirit calls, well, we don't have to, but it's more fun if we do. We have more fun if we go, okay, yay, let's do that. So, you know, I'd encourage you to let spirit, these angels give you signs. They love to use feathers. I love them. So let them bring in feathers to you. They also like to use change. Now, I really like them to give me $50 bills, but that's not usually what they use.
Yeah, pennies. Find pennies.
Nickel, dimes, quarters, pennies, yeah. It's all good spirit money, so let it happen. But I'm excited. 11 of them is also a master number, so that's important. I think
awesome.
That's important when I see those things. So I think you're kind of cosmically set up there, Julie.
Woo!
Yay! It's a nice time. So lots and lots of blessings. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, keep doing great angel work. So have a great adventure. And I really want to say this for you, too. Stay-at-home moms, bless all of your hearts who are stay-at-home moms. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. She had me when she was 43. She had my half-sister when she was 17. So, you know, it was an interesting adventure for her. And I don't think anybody works harder than stay-at-home moms. I think it's a tough gig. because people often think they don't work, and trust me, they work really hard. And the moms who have to leave and go out and work and they miss that precious time with their children, it's very difficult. I really champion all mothers because, you know what, it's a hard gig because you want to protect them and you're trying to do the very best, and the outside world has influence. So, you know what, I'd be putting some of the flock of that angels all around all those kids, too, and just bless all your mothers because it is a challenging job. Bless your hearts.
Well, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Take care of yourself, darling.
All right, bye-bye.
I bless those dads, too. I think it's a very amazing thing to be parents in this day and age. You know, when our generation, meaning, you can tell I'm an older generation now. Who would have thought? I used to think my parents, you know, anybody over 21 was older. But, you know, the generations now are, the kids now are exposed to so much. They are on sensory overload, and I worry about them because, you know, I was stunned when I picked up a kid's book bag. I mean, I don't think I could haul it around. I mean, they are under such pressure to know so much. And I'm telling you, I almost have to ask a five-year-old to fix my computer. It's so embarrassing. But they're so gifted, these kids nowadays. We are blessed with indigos, rainbows, and crystal kids. You know, it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be open to the possibilities and the miracles in this world. We are such divine, incredible spirits. And the more that we recognize that we are wonderfully divine and sacred and blessed, we see that then in other people. So remember that each day you are a blessing to yourself and a blessing to someone else. Let your heart light shine to light your way and the way for others. And until we talk again, remember to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Thank you for listening to BBS Radio and Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.